FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's April 11th, 2018. Hey, be part of the show, participate, join the dialogue, join the discussion. We answer all of your emails eventually. Simple. Just either call us 914-424-4142 or write us at kl@kerrylutz.com. So, market's been volatile, to say the least. There's gambling going on. Well, has the average investor turned against Facebook and the other FANG stocks? Good question. Our good friend Sam McElroy is here with us now. Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Terry.
Hey, so market, Facebook, I mean, you look at Amazon. Amazon's under attack from Trump for their ownership, or Jeff Bezos's ownership of the Washington Post. Is this bode poorly for the FANG stocks, or is another sector going to take over and we'll forget all about the FANGs?
Well, this is so interesting. You know, if we look at what happened last year, and if we think about all the records that got broken, you know, the FANG stocks were really responsible, and I haven't done the analysis, but let's just say they were responsible for the lion's share of where the stock market went. You know, great years for Amazon, you know, Netflix, Google, Apple. I mean, you kind of name it. They were really leading the lion's share. And the tech industry as a whole was kind of doing that and playing their role. So now we're in a situation where, and I think this really highlights concentration risk of being over-reliant on any one particular stock, because what I would say is the things that are happening with many of the FANG stocks were things that you probably couldn't have predicted. It wasn't a balance sheet problem, so to speak, that someone could have done some homework and kind of seen coming down the pike. It was like, you know, personal idiosyncratic things that were happening in these stocks. You know, you have Facebook really having a big issue with respect to, you know, the usage of data and things like that. You know, we know that Mark Zuckerberg was testifying the other day. And as a result,
is that what you call that?
Kind of have an uptick today.
Is that what you call that?
Dodging answers, but you know, doing. I guess you know, trying to give some accounting of what happened. But then at the same time, we see this attack on Amazon also, for whatever reason it is. But it's something that you wouldn't have normally have projected or seen coming. And here's the issue: now that we're seeing the FANG stocks really start to struggle this year, and you know, some of them are coming back, but you know, as of call it a week or two ago, most of them were down anywhere, you know, nearing 10% or a little over 10% of the 15% range or so. And that's been having an impact on the stock market. And it's been coming at a time when the stock market as a whole has kind of been a little bit wobbly. So the issue you get into is if there isn't some really good data, some other stocks, some other sectors that can take over to continue to propel the market forward, is this unease, I guess, in the market going to ultimately tip the scale into what ends up being a reversion to the mean and some pullback in the market? And I think that's what we're waiting to see.
Well, it's interesting you say that. So there's leadership, you know, sectors lead the market at any given time. Last year, these FANGs, really, which is just another way of saying tech, a lot of tech companies went up. And that was kind of at the pain or at the absence of resource companies. Mainly, let's look at oil production, oil producers, and you know, refining is another sector, and so is transportation, whether it's pipelines. When we look at what's happening in the U.S. petroleum industry, it seems like it's kind of poised to take over the leadership, don't you think?
Well, it's certainly a possibility. You know, energy as a whole has kind of gotten hit, you know, call it maybe a couple of years ago now, 2-3 years or so.
Yeah.
We really started to see what, you know, it go away from a leadership position into giving way more to techs and stuff like that. So there's been a lot of companies that have considerable resources that have been maybe undervalued or just not doing that well. And the question is, could that be some of the stocks that then continue to be able to make some strides and continue to be able to post some returns? I think one of the things that's really interesting about call it oil stocks or some of these other companies that are just in the energy sector is that they're not just beholden purely to how we normally think of energy. You know, they've been doing research and development. They've been working on technology. They've been working on advancements in the field. And the question is, can some of those things actually start to help boost them into a position where they do take over the leadership? The only thing I can say for right now is that it seems unclear. I wouldn't say that there's any sector that has popped its head up and said, okay, well, here, we're going to carry the lion's share now. So it's still a mystery to see whether or not somebody else will be able to fulfill that position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're looking at really the U.S. has attained near energy self-sufficiency. When you look at 10 million barrels a day, another 5 million barrels per day, the equivalent of natural gas liquids, 15 million barrels a day. It's pretty amazing. So the question is, you can't just, you know, people want to fall into, you get into the rut, one decision stocks. Man, in the 60s, we had the Nifty 50, Xerox, IBM, etc. And there's always one decision to make, and then you just kind of watch it grow. How do you know when your sector is no longer the sector that's going to move the market? Instead, the market's going to move your sector.
You know, I feel like that really leads into just a great philosophical question where you can really start to parse this out, because in a sense, it depends on who you are and what you're trying to accomplish. If you are a financial analyst and you're working for a firm or a custodian or a hedge fund or something like that, and your job is to be able to identify trends to move in and out of certain positions, then there's a variety of tools at your disposal. You might rely on technical analysis, fundamental analysis, sector analysis, whatever it might be, to try to determine what moves you want to make. I think what happens too often, though, is that if you're you know, a personal investor, you know, it's a little bit of don't try this at home. There just isn't a great way that I can identify for somebody who wants to manage funds on their own to really be able to be as nimble as I think you need to be sometimes to be able to identify some of these trends. So they're going to be right. You know, they can read all the publications and they can kind of bet in a certain direction as far as where they want to go. But I think it becomes really problematic for them. So if you're a personal investor and you're really trying to get stock market gains, I think the thing that you always have to fall back on is just the fact that it's a long-term strategy, that you're trying to get some potential long-term growth and that there may be some bumps and bruises along the way, but that over a long enough period of time, you're going to be okay and some of the mispicks that you may have will be muted out. And I think in that instance, trying to invest in sectors as a whole or just having a diversified approach can really be what helps you. I think where mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of problems is when you have somebody who's kind of a do-it-yourselfer and they just aren't in it day in, day out, and they're trying to follow the media and the news, and so they're making an allocation of this sector and that sector. The problem you really get into is that it ends up being very reactionary. It's hard for them to see the leading indicators to be able to know which direction to move. And even for the ones that do it professionally, they can't always pinpoint it accurately also. Otherwise, you know, you look at some of these funds and they would just constantly post profits if they could always see with foresight where these things were going to move and twist.
Yeah, well, you know, my hindsight is 20/20, as my economics prof used to tell me. And in this case, you know, you gotta really wonder about future trends, et cetera. So if I get it properly, if I glean properly from what you're saying, it probably is a good time to take some profits if you have them in these FANG stocks?
Yeah, I think so. But I'll tell you why. It's not a matter of me thinking that they've hit a ceiling and can't push any further than where they are right now, because I don't think this is the end of the road for them. Even if they have some volatility here in the near future, I think that many of the FANG stocks are in a position where they're going to be able to push forward. You know, I can't say categorically for all of them, but many of them I think are doing innovative things where their future can still be bright. But the question that you have to ask, and I was just talking to somebody earlier this morning about this, but the question ultimately becomes, at some point you have to harvest some gains. And if not now, when? You know, are you going to wait until the market has the 10% reversion to the mean? Because then the whole psychological process plays in of, well, you know, I don't want to sell while it's down. Let me wait for it to bounce back to, you know, X dollar and then I'll sell. But that never really works out quite that way. So you have to be able to bow out a little bit when you're up, pull some chips off the table, so to speak, so that you can at least be poised to either take advantage of discrepancies in the market, or if you decide, nope, the market's going to continue on from here, you can still push back in and then continue to get some of those gains.
Right. Yeah. So you need to hedge your bets, right?
Yeah. You know, and you got to make sure that, you know, the investments you have are seeking to really fulfill what the purpose is for which you're investing. I think hyper-focusing purely on just maximizing rate of return is great. It's a great mathematical exercise, but it doesn't always necessarily get people to what the purpose is for which they want to ultimately use those funds. And so you just want to be cognizant of the full picture. Make sure that everything has a specific function inside of your portfolio, so to speak.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And it's just common sense. The tree doesn't grow to the sky. Remember that old maxim from Wall Street? It seems to be forgotten.
I do, yep.
So why do you think that is? Why is it forgotten when we need to learn from our past here and really, really change our behavior so we don't repeat those mistakes of the past?
Well, the problem is exactly kind of what you just said, which is that we oftentimes have short memory and we don't learn from our mistakes. You know, as bad as 07 and 08 and parts of it were for many people that were in the market, it's now been 8-9 years since then. And in a sense, it's kind of in the past now. People are feeling like, well, that information isn't relevant anymore. That's not really going to happen again. And the thing is, you know, anytime there's a significant downturn, so let's look at, you know, the subprime mortgage crisis, and then we can look at the NASDAQ crash, you know, basically from the dot-com bubble bursting in early 2000s. Most of the time when there's a significant market downturn, you can almost pinpoint or at least hang it on some thing that happened, some event somewhere that happened. And I think what that does is it provides a natural scapegoat for us to say, well, the market typically behaves pretty normal and goes up, but sometimes these weird instances happen where the market drops. But in truth, the market has periods where it's really primed to have a reversion or a contraction, and it just gets precipitated by an event. But I think it's easy for us to say, well, you know, 08, 09 is not going to replay itself because, you know, that was what was happening out here in this area. But since it's not happening now, we'll be okay. Not understanding that the market really does ebb and flow, and that sometimes it's really cathartic for the market to pull back a little bit and shed some excess baggage and then move forward again. And people end up getting caught up in those cycles.
Right. Well, that's just human nature. It happens over and over and over again. I mean, look, you go back to the history of markets back to Europe, and it's no different. So it's the gambling instinct. It's the try to make something for nothing, all of those good things. So, hey, Sam, want to find out more about you, want to contact you through the web, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, easiest is just our website. It's www.atfinancial.com. So www.atfinancial.com.
All right. Hey, we'll got to have a link, as always, in the show notes to this interview. Just click it, get right to Sam's site. And don't forget, send us an email or call us 914-424-4142 on the hotline. Leave a message. And the Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. At least for now, we'll try to stop Mark Zuckerberg from sharing all your data on there. Sam, it's been a total pleasure, as always. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, good talking to you, too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.